Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Intend motion to approve the agenda. Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of March 26th. Any questions or corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved.
Good.
Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council.
None.
Public comment, Mr. Guy. Thank you, sir. Okay, Jim Martin.
When you are small, you still do what you can to fix things. So thank you for this small citizens' privilege segment of your agenda when the public is allowed to speak for 3 minutes about a variety of topics falling under the county council authority. This is a privilege, not a right. And this special time has encouraged a few of us to share some quick ideas with you. We hope to point our county towards possible solutions of creating more housing for the working poor who are making less than $20 an hour. Land is expensive. Housing demand is high. Housing supply is low. These are some of the barriers to affordable housing, which has created a perfect storm of our current red alert housing crisis. Randy, a typical landlord in the Seaford area, commented yesterday to me, "Sorry, I don't have a thing available in terms of rentals because so many people are in the same situation. I have a waiting list of over 60 people. It is just so crazy now." End of quote. High density is the obvious answer, but NIMBYs don't want high density, and most feasible land would need to be rezoned for higher density, which is then shot down by NIMBYs at public hearings. And because renters' incomes have only increased by 5% since 1960, while rents have increased by 61% since 1960, affordable housing is no longer affordable. So now we need to go to another level, which is extremely affordable housing. We must find a way for higher density and smaller dwellings because empowering and uplifting our local working poor benefits our county as a whole. We need to find a way for our lower wage earners to be sheltered safely because this helps them to maintain their health, be mentally well, and productive taxpaying citizens. A rising tide does lift all boats. I want to start a YIMBY movement as opposed to a NIMBY unit movement. In Sussex County, a YIMBY movement means yes in my backyard. What is the scope of the study that the housing consultant will do for us? Could they listen to us and put our insights and ideas into the housing needs report? Will the consultant be looking at tiny homes? I am asking that the council place the topic of tiny house zoning and building codes on your official agenda. We could bring in the experts that could dig into the details and illustrate the great examples around the country where tiny home communities are working very well. Many places around our country are going tiny house legal because local citizens like myself asked for these changes and to update the building codes. I and thousands of other Sussex counties are asking that you make tiny homes legal in our county so hardworking people can figure out how to legally create their own affordable shelters instead of living in their cars or sleeping in their tents. Let's become YIMBYs and tiny home friendly now because we have 100,000 Sussex Countyans only two steps away from the gutter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I forgot to say earlier on for the public comment, everybody has 3 minutes to speak about anything the county council has any control or interest in. You come up, start speaking, the green light will come on top of the dais here. With 1 minute to go, the amber light comes on, and when the red light comes on, we ask you to stop. Michelle Williams. Sure, just hand it right down there, and I'll hand it this way.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for hiring a consultant to provide an in-depth view of Sussex County's housing availability. I appreciate you and the local press for enhancing visibility on this issue. I know it is in your hearts and in your minds to solve these concerns and that you seek a way forward. I'm here today to offer my assistance. I have a PhD in public policy and administration. My research focuses on how comprehensive plans, finance, and zoning policies affect what real estate developers choose to develop. This research gave me a deep dive into the policies that either inhibit or promote healthy community development. Lastly, I make my living here in Delaware and Maryland as a real estate investor. Every week, I read another editorial about the issues affecting the quality of life in our county. But today, in these three brief minutes, I will address the not in my backyard that Jim just talked about, thinking about tiny houses. And by definition, a tiny house is something that's 400 to 500 square feet. On February 21st, the Dan Gaffney poll showed a poll that asked Sussex County if they should have a zoning that allows for tiny houses to help the homeless and working poor. Of the 1,400 votes that they got, 85 voted that they thought it was a great idea. There were 149 engagements in 24 hours, which was pretty good on Facebook. But the comments that were left on my Facebook business page is what I expected, the NIMBYism, such as lowered property values, safety, community aesthetics, drugs, crime, etc. However, the research does not support these claims. In 2004, an urban land study found that the migration towards smaller average size, unit size, and rental communities offering micro units are a growing trend because of the focus on efficient layouts, economics, and market demand. Also, smaller units tend to outperform conventional units, and they tend to have higher occupancy. Market values rising or falling has more to do with demographics, community attributes, interest rates, the economy, government policies, and land values, and how one uses the land and cares for the land rather than the size of a dwelling. On increasing crime, researchers demonstrated that there was no evidence that homeless encampments add to crime. We have two demographic waves happening here. One is the downsizing baby boomers. The other one is the millennials wanting homes and flexible living. And somewhere in the middle is where Sussex County is experiencing their issues. Surveys done by tiny house associations have indicated that on average, people that seek these alternative living structures are not wealthy. They want to own an own home, but they don't want larger, more expensive ones because that doesn't keep within their aligned and fixed budget. Tiny house communities, as such, can allow people to live simply and minimally and reduce personal debt, and the towns can increase their housing stock, add economic activity, increase the tax base, and make houses more affordable and low-income housing available. So thank you again for this opportunity, and I look forward to further discussion. Thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Bernard Klein.
I'm Bernard Klein from Millsboro, and this is my wife, Pat. And we're here to speak on behalf of Cheers. And actually, I'm not a very good speaker, but I know what I'm talking about when I talk about Cheers. I've been working with them 15 years. And we need help to buy a new kitchen. We need a kitchen, and also seniors are very much in need of our services. I worked for Cheers in Long Neck, and my wife did up until last year, and I deliver meals, and now I receive meals. Because my wife had a stroke last year, and I've delivered to many seniors, and we need to keep feeding them. We feed roughly 1,700 seniors a day, and I'll try to cover all the information here. Homebound seniors who depend on meals. We need seniors attending Cheers activity centers. We trust that you'll see the need and provide the county support. If someone attends the center, is homebound or volunteer, they see how they see the need. I really don't need a whole bunch of time. and but I think I covered everything as far as seniors. We delivered to handicaps, and sometimes it's the only people they see all day long, and they need the meal. It's their only meal every day. And I've coming to homes, and I had to pick up people from falling and things like that, and call the ambulance. Cheers needs every cent you can give them. We need a new kitchen mostly, because we use a storage shed, and it supplements. The kitchen we have now, it will cook 600 to 700 meals a day. And we serve in 1,700. So we have a large need for a new kitchen. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Gregory Lake. Gregory Lake.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning. Good morning.
All right, as y'all can see, my face is bruised up. Got a busted lip. It happened yesterday at 1 o'clock going up to Wawa. And of course, every time I go, it's always someone asks for some money or something. And it got kind of wild, and I ended up getting hit in the face. And somebody tried to get some money, which I don't keep cash, I just keep credit cards. So they pretty much was just practicing, but I got hurt in the mix of it. Got some stitches in my mouth. And called the police, and Dover PD didn't do anything. But I'm the voice for those that have no voice. I have a master's degree and a PhD in what not to do. Basic meaning, I'm a minority that has mastered street smarts and book smarts, both together combined. Did you know street smarts is more important than being book smart? Anybody know that? I'll tell you why. The reason for that is because street smarts means I have an outstanding environmental situational understanding, and I know everything going on around me at all times. Most people don't. Being in a battle is different than making the laws for it. My experience is real life. I do work that others read about. Get my hands dirty, whether through success or failure, those I've learned firsthand. Experiences gained me knowledge and understanding of the world and my work. I've learned about things you can't read in a book. I know the ins and outs. Book smarts is secondhand learning compared to experience. Now, I'm no hater of anybody, because the same guy made you made me. Book smarts can't be denied, and some of the brainiest people in the world have book smarts. My name is Gregory Lake, Democrats, Republicans. This is the United States of America, not white America, black America, or any other America. It's America point blank. America hasn't gotten race right, human rights right. America hasn't gotten health care right. America hasn't gotten education right for all humans. I never believed in America because America hasn't given me a reason yet to believe in America. It's full of politics. That's what I call politics, politics. It's all about money. If you got money, you can live good. If you ain't got no money, you're going to be on the street, homeless, ain't got nothing. People don't care about people that's homeless, and people that get desperate and hungry, this is what they do. They hurt people. And if I didn't have street smarts, I could have got killed because one of the guys had a gun. But I know how to talk myself out of it, so I didn't get shot. I just got hit instead, which is better than getting shot. Wouldn't you agree? Because I've been shot before, and I've been stabbed before, and I broke both my legs and my neck on a motorcycle, so I know what the pain is. Anyway, I'm at least 5 to 10 years ahead of Delaware through life. I found my own voice. I have a daughter. She's 7 years old, and the old rules went up in smoke. I have balanced freedom that I would love to pass on to the less fortunate. I never voted in my life, and I never complained in my life, because I blazed my own path. Even after two felonies, being raised poor, uneducated, and I'm still successful, I own limousines. I take my daughter to school in limousines every day. She's the only African-American child in Delaware that goes to school in limousines every day. So I'm teaching her different and showing her different. And the reason why I'm saying this is because it's time in history where women feel, as well as my mother, feel and should be our equal. And I'm teaching my daughter that she's stronger than a man. A woman been carrying the world on her back.
Kind of wrap up.
Oh, yes. Women have been carrying the world on their back and in their belly since the beginning of time. The proof is you, and I wouldn't be here unless that happened. Get tiny homes on your board of discussion, because since Delaware is the first state, let's start acting like it. The whole United States political system is crooked and it's all about money. Delaware is no different. Let's start leading America and showing we are different, so we as Delawareans can become the trendsetters of America by ending homelessness here in Delaware first.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mr. President,
does that have anything at all to do with county business?
I'm not sure. The tiny houses, I heard tiny houses in there somewhere.
But okay.
Yeah. We'll, if, yeah. Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. Basically, getting back to Board of Adjustments with the appeals for the hearings, they had another one last night. It still is, how can the Board of Adjustment listen to their own appeals with their decisions that they make? If they vote 5-0 for something, how can you come in next month and say, we made the wrong decision, or the attorney not want to protect us? This is the first hearing. You had the appeal in front of here for a land use decision for planning and zoning. Last week, you did the final on that. Now, planning and zoning, at that hearing that they didn't like the decision, why didn't it go back to them again? And it came to county council. Somehow, whether it's legislative or however, Board of Adjustment should not be getting their own appeals back with that same board. It just doesn't seem logical. The second thing is, with going through, and this goes back before everybody except for Mr. Wilson and Mr. Vincent on the board, is every, you keep hearing about with permits being issued, people not understanding the variance or the setbacks and everything else in it, and the information that they're given at the permit window to get the permits. And when you're sitting at the Board of Adjustment, they keep bringing it up anytime they have a discussion, where's the problem lying? Why are these people, are they being mistold information at the counter? Is the builder screwing up? Who is screwing up? Well, I went back and looked at my old permit process and papers, and here's one that I got and proved that even the permit people, when it comes to the codes, when they're giving the information, seem they're getting it wrong. And this just goes back to the horses. Put on here, 5 horses or more. This is in their own writing on the permits. 5 or more horses. GR, AR1. Setbacks, 100 foot front, 100 foot side, 100 foot rear, 200 foot from any dwelling, which is completely wrong. 5 or more horses is 200 foot setbacks, front, side, and rear. So if information is going out on something as simple as this because of miscommunication, it affects the decks, it affects the placement of garages, places, the placement for carports, all minor stuff that come back to haunt people when they're selling it, or some, or another issue coming up where they find out that they're in violation from the setbacks, which could be resolved coming out of the permitting office, something simple. I'm still stuck on, why is our assessment in charge of permits? You would think that all the assessment should be worrying about is the financial end of what the property should be assessed at and the value for taxes, not about going through the guidance. That may be where the problem lies.
Thank you, sir. Brian and Adrian Miller. You okay? Okay. Patricia Cookson.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
I gotta say, I'm very happy to see you all today. And it might not have been possible. March 27th, I took myself to the ER. I had been suffering from some massive pains in my side, which related to my shoulder and to my chest. I thought I was starting to have cardiac arrest. Being homeless with a dog, I immediately took myself to the ER. The wonderful ER staff allowed me to come in with my dog. And of course, all the ER nurses fell in love with her. She's such a wonderful, wonderful dog. And here I come to find out I was almost killed by a silent killer, something with the initials of PE, pulmonary embolisms in my lungs. I found out, I asked the doctor, I said, was this because I was living in my car, sleeping in my car? And she said, yes. So not only do those of us who are homeless have to worry about drug overdoses or alcoholism, we now have this silent, deadly killer that goes from our veins in our legs, up to our lungs, and God forbid, to our hearts. I could have been a statistic of a homeless person found dead in their car. There are 10 small home communities in the United States for the homeless. The first one was built in 1993 in downtown LA, California. They had what was called dome houses. That lasted for 13 years. In 2004, Fresno and one other town in California started with community houses. Wisconsin, Texas, Washington State, Oregon, they all started these tiny house communities for their homeless because they could see where the homeless was becoming out of control, being populated. And they found that a lot of them were great success because you take a 2-acre plot of land, you put these small little homes with a community, with a community center, right dead center of it, that houses showers, a community kitchen, and Wi-Fi, and that they found they actually help people get back up, become not a hindrance, but a help to the community, and show them to be more productive. They're able to grow their own little vegetable gardens, and like I said, be more productive in community, get jobs, and stabilize to where they go from a tiny house to actually owning their own home. And yes, they do pay rent. It's a small, minimal amount of rent, but it gives them that responsibility. So I thank you all very much for this time. And next time, hopefully, when I see you again, I'll have some more paperwork I can hand out to you to show you the proof of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. You know your stooges over there to the Board of Adjustment. I love them. Boy, they are just like a bunch of stooges. If they'd have used their brain and had sent that subpoena to the right person, they would have had that guy come in and testify. But guess what? They sent it to the wrong person. So therefore, there was nobody available to sign. Because he wasn't around. Boy, I tell you, I love it to know and shows how stupid they are. Thank you. Have a good day.
You have a great day yourself, Mr. Kramer. Mr. Lawson.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Moving down the agenda, the next item is a presentation by the Sussex County Police Chiefs Association. We're joined today by members of the Police Chiefs Association who are going to present a PowerPoint and discuss their initiatives with County Council. I would invite Chief Longo and Chief R.L. Hughes to come forward. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Mr. President, morning. Council members, Mr. Administrator, Ms. Jennings. My name is Bob Longo, and I'm the Chief of Police in Milton, Delaware, and I'm the President of the Sussex County Police Chiefs Association. To my right is Chief R.L. Hughes, our Vice President, and the Chief of Georgetown PD. On behalf of our county chiefs, I want to thank you for allowing us to speak before you this morning on Sussex County's municipal policing. We also want to thank you for your continued support and grants over the years. We would definitely be remiss if we did not commend Ms. Dawn Brazier of the Finance Department for her assistance in the grant programs which benefit all 20 municipalities, police departments in Sussex County. Our motto, as you can see from the presentation, is professionalism, community, integrity, and transparency. Okay, she got back there. Okay. Sussex County is made up of 20 municipal police agencies with 183 officers serving 75,000 residents. Our departments conduct complex investigations from domestic violence, cyber crimes, fraud, narcotics, traffic investigations. We have an increase in motor vehicle crashes due to the increase in volume, which obviously relates to our increase in population. We've become such a great place to live. For the record, I'm not originally from Sussex County, but I'm bringing my family down here.
Just a moment, gentlemen, if I, please do not hold that against.
Thanks, Earl. Appreciate the support.
It didn't come from New Jersey, did it?
Well, now we're in trouble. Go ahead.
We would have not answer that question at this time.
God, <man. laughs> The opioid crisis, we're facing that, homelessness and mental health. The opioid crisis is something I'd like to touch on. This affects every community, large and small, within our county, incorporated or not. It also affects our homelessness. People lose everything that they have for the drugs and mental health. It affects there. The Sussex County Police Chiefs have collectively come together and we're establishing a plan that we would like to present in the future to County Council as an alternative to incarceration based upon the new sentencing guidelines that come out. We've reached out to Brandywine Counseling and Community Services, Delaware Health and Social Services, the Hope One Project, which is heroin opioid prevention efforts, and it's out of Morris County Sheriff's Office in New Jersey. The Hero Help Program out of Newcastle County PD, which is a combination effort and initiative with the county. Both those programs combine law enforcement, mental health, social services, and treatment specialists that if the person is either arrested by the police or they come in and ask for assistance, we can provide immediate assistance to them. We're facing that every day. Our ability to lock people up, we can do that. The ability to help people that are asking for help is where we realize that we need to improve our efforts. And we're going to reach out with the county and work with the county and the state on that effort. There's another program called the Angel Program. And then PERI, which is the Police Assisted Addiction and Recovery Initiative, they also provide resources to help with alternatives to incarceration for those that are seeking treatment. We believe if somebody wants help, that it's our moral obligation to help out anybody. We talked about the increase in our population. You can see over the last 3 to 4 years, which you know more than anyone, I'm sure, the increase growth rate in the county is 2.35%. Our total complaints within the county from 2015 to 2018 have increased 16.8%. And our municipal activities, which is our final display, we've been fortunate enough there that they've stayed basically the same, which I believe is a credit to, as I call them, our street officers, our officers out there on the beat. It's their hard work, their dedication that is keeping the community safe and keeping our county safe. Sussex County Municipal Policing is committed to providing professional services to everyone within the county. We are dedicated to solving our community issues, which we've just discussed. We are your local and hometown police departments, and we are here to thank you for your continued support and what you've given us, and we're available for any questions that County Council may have.
Well, first, certainly thank you all for all you do, you and your officers. We certainly appreciate all that, and we're glad we can help you as we do have them over the years. Any questions to council?
One quick question.
Mr. Rodman.
Yes, sir. I'm wondering why would you think the number of complaints has outpaced the growth rate in population?
I didn't hear you, sir.
Why would you speculate the increase in complaints? I think it was 16% increase in complaints.
Yes, sir.
Versus the increase in population. What's driving that?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wright. That is a fantastic question and purely speculative on our part because we've not had a chance to really dive into the data to find out the reasons why or that root cause. But there's one glaring answer that jumps out. There is a crisis amongst us, in our communities, in our local communities, in our county, in our state, in our country, and that is the opioid crisis now. And that does drive a large number of our crimes. Quite frankly, a person who is in the throes of addiction, the brain changes. The chemistry of the brain changes. They're not making good decisions anymore. They're not making decisions that we feel that are good decisions. And then leading them down the path of committing criminal acts. Oftentimes, because of this change in the brain, they can't help themselves for doing that. That is not an excuse. Not an excuse. But therein lies a driver. For us, in fact, here in Georgetown, we handle about 400 or so shoplifting complaints from one store per year. The vast majority are driven by to fuel an addiction. That drives those things. So as Chief Longo had mentioned, and our other chiefs sitting here throughout the county are working with other partners, other stakeholders, to collaborate and find additional resources to combat that, get to the root cause, and move forward, finding a different path for a lot of folks. And it will take the entire county to do that. And again, I'll come back to what Chief Longo just said. If not for the help that we get from the county, a lot of the initiatives that we want to do, we wouldn't be able to do.
More questions again?
I have one.
Doug, Member Johnson.
Oral, with the program that you're doing now with a counselor, that how's that work? I mean, can you give a brief explanation of what that is?
Yes. You heard about the ANGEL program. You've heard about Hero Help. We had something in Georgetown that we kind of coined as the Guardian program. Mm-hmm. We pride ourselves on being the guardians of Georgetown, adopting that from a 21st century policing model. With a mental health clinician on board, Mr. Hudson, for years as a trooper, I often complained, and you may have, I don't want to speak for you, we would say police officers aren't social workers.
Yep.
But yet we were tasked with certain things that were within that realm. Well, doesn't it make sense to bring in the social workers then to do some of the things we have to do? And in this case, we're very fortunate to have a mental health clinician who, Ms. Robinson, is also able to do assessments for mental health disorders as well. Oftentimes we find, and it's not every time, we find co-occurring disorders with substance abuse and other mental health pieces. So we can have we have that interjection of the mental health piece on the front end. And we try to identify folks before there's a crime committed. Because if we can find them before the crime committed, maybe we can stop that crime and get them to the resources that they need. And I know the county's had a large part in this, but the resources here in the county have started to increase. Sun Behavioral, other state functions are coming in and providing some resources. In years past, Mr. Hudson, you know well as I, a person addicted to a drug, the only place they were going to find therapy was at the Department of Corrections. And that model didn't work. If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got. And so we have to find a different model. Sometimes, as an old police officer, that may not sit well with me. I think, wait a minute, this may not work. But we've got to try a different way. These are people, and we need to treat our brothers and sisters as people. So that program with Michelle, I think it's going to do well. I am in a grant process now to continue that funding, and I hope to be successful.
Thank you.
Another question to the council?
Quick follow-up.
Mr. Riley.
Maybe not so quick. Maybe this is not even the right setting for this question, but we've heard a number of people come forward and speak about the homelessness problem. And you cited the opioid problem driving complaints. From your perspective, what's the relationship there?
Okay. First, I will back up just a little bit. And when I first arrived here in May of 2015, I had been very fortunate to have a wonderful career with the Delaware State Police. I then had a great opportunity to serve as the Deputy Secretary for Safety and Homeland Security here for Delaware. I was struck when I came to Georgetown by the homelessness. And I'll tell you, I drove through. I lived in Millsboro, I drove to Dover, and I didn't pay attention. And I was involved in some decision making at a very high policy level. And when I got here, I realized it probably wasn't a good decision on some of the things that we had made. So I got to see that. I also want to make it perfectly clear that not every person that is homeless is suffering through a substance abuse problem. They're not one and of the same. But we do see homelessness here in Georgetown. I won't speak for the other municipalities. We do see that here. We try to reach out to those folks and try to find additional resources for them. You've recently probably heard about camps behind Walmart. I'll just put that right out there. Yes, there are a few tents out there. We are working with some individuals there to try to find some additional resources because that property is going to be developed. And the owner would like to have, they need to start doing some construction. So they can't stay. So we're working through that. So it is an issue, and I was struck by that and a couple other things that we won't mention here today, but it is an issue. And we are trying to partner with folks and find a better way for them. Again, a lot of it does come down to the affordability, and that is squarely, and I'm glad that's with you, not me. That's with the council.
Any more questions, council? Thank you both very much, and thank everybody that came today to support you, the police chiefs, and we do appreciate all you guys do, and girls, and look forward to working with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
We're going to move on the agenda now to our 10:30 scheduled public hearing. Mr. Moore.